You're listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis of Calvary Chapel San Clemente. On today's edition,
allow the presence of God just to fill your life. Allow His Spirit to speak to your heart. Allow Him to uncover the things that He wants to uncover. Expect to be confronted with maybe some things you believe about Him that are not true. And allow Him to do what He wants to do. Because His intent for you is He wants to be one with you. And He wants to get everything out of the way.
When was the last time you experienced the presence of God? Do you experience Him daily, weekly, monthly? Do you only experience Him during Christmas and Easter? You see, He wants to be with you. He wants to challenge you. He wants to grow you. And He wants these things because He loves you. Today, Pastor Holland teaches that the most wonderful and beautiful place for you to be is in the presence of the Lord. Allow His Spirit to fill you today and be open to the message that God has for you. Let's join Pastor Holland in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 as he continues his message, Taking the Heartland.
Jesus loved the book of Deuteronomy. It was the most quoted book for Him. And it was not just because it was the law, the second giving of the law, but what we find in Deuteronomy is the heart behind the law is given. And the heart is one of love. This statement is called the Great Shema. It comes from the first word of this statement, this declaration in Hebrew, which is Shema Israel. Shema means, oh, hear. And so He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's a relationship that is built on love. You know, everything God does is motivated by love. Even the laws, the commandments are rooted in love. And if you don't understand this, then you're going to have a hard time really being able to rightly interpret what the law is saying. Everything God does is love. Now, I loved my kids. We wouldn't let them play in the street. And so if they played in the street, sometimes they get yelled at, you know, and they would, we'd say, hey, get out of the street. And I imagine from their perspective, they could have looked back and said, man, God, you are angry. You're an angry dad. And then if they didn't listen to me, then I'd grab them and I would lightly discipline them. You can't say spanking. Get arrested for that now. I would lightly discipline them. And I'm sure they could have looked at me and said, Dad is a dad of wrath. Right? You're an angry and wrathful dad. And that's how a lot of people see God when they look in the Old Testament, because they don't see it through the lens of love. And I've had people tell me that. You talk too much about the love of God. You need to talk about His condemnation and His judgment and His wrath. It's like, okay, I'll do it when God does it. And my proof text is Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world. So I guess I'll never be condemning people. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish. So I guess I'm not going to be judging people. So what other verses do you want me to read? You see, God is love, and everything He does is motivated by love. And that's why we are to love one another as His children, as representatives of Him, because that's what He does. Everything we do is a response to God's love. And the greatest demonstration of love is obedience. In Deuteronomy 7, it says, then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and mercy which He swore to your fathers, and He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil and the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. And so the greatest thing we can do to demonstrate that we love God is to obey what he says. Not out of obligation. I don't obey God because I have to. I don't obey God because I'm afraid not to. Like if I don't obey him, I'm going to go to hell. Or I'm going to be judged or my life isn't going to work. That's not why I obey him. I obey him because I love him. And because I want to please him. I want him to be, you know, I want to hear well done. You know, like, hey, you know, we're buddies. I love you. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear like, you're a good employee, son. But I know that's how I felt for many years. I felt like I was just God's employee. Lord, I don't even need to have a relationship with you. Just fax me your orders. I'll do them. I'll carry them out. Just give me a to-do list. I'll do it. I don't need to be close to you. I'm just happy to be in the club. But then God told me, he said, you know, there's no place in my kingdom for servants and employees. I only have sons and daughters. I only have children. And that changed my relationship with the Lord. And so I do what I do because I love him. I'm motivated out of love for him. And that brings us to Joshua. Joshua is about consummation. Consummation. As we've been on this journey of grace, from Genesis now to Joshua, God has one agenda. And that agenda is to be one with you and me. He wants to be one with us. He wants to be united with us. He wants nothing between us. He wants to remove everything that separates us. And he wants us to be free to love. And he wants us to be free to choose life. And that's a scary place to be honest with you. Because when someone is free to love, that means they're free to not love. If they're free to choose life, that means they're free to choose death, to make decisions that you know will lead them in the wrong direction. But that's what real freedom is. And the Bible says, for freedom's sake, Christ set you free. Because he wants you to love him voluntarily, because you want to. Wouldn't it be a drag if when you got married to someone, it wasn't because you wanted to, it's because you have to? Someone just said, that's the person you're going to marry. Yeah, but they have four eyes. You'll grow to love them. It's like, no, I won't. God wants us to love them because we want to. It's a want to. It's a desire. But if we choose to love him, then he doesn't want anything between us. And so that means he's going to tear down every stronghold in your life. That means he's going to tear down every lie, every false belief. He's going to clear it out of the way. Every mental wall that you've built against him, he's going to tear it down. Every emotional wall that you've built, he's going to tear it down. Every bondage that you've become bound by, he's going to break off of you. Life-dominating sins, he's going to push it out of your life. Attitudes, anything that keeps you from entering into the promised land of abundant life that he has for you, he's going to clear it out of the way. And in verses 5-9, God gives us five key principles to taking the heartland. And we're just going to go through them briefly because this is just an introduction. But as God commands Joshua to take the land, I want you to hear this command as a command for your life, that God wants you to take back the land of your heart, that he wants you to take back the heartland. And in verse 5, it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so God says to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now those words, leave you and forsake you, we hear those in the New Testament, but they're interesting here in the Hebrew what they actually mean. When God says, I will not leave you, he's not saying I won't leave you behind or I won't abandon you. But what he is saying is, I am not going to fail you. In the Hebrew, it literally means I am not going to fail you, and I am not going to stop pursuing you, that I'm not going to slack off of loving you. I'm not going to even slow down a little bit, but I'm going to keep it up. I'm going to let you know over and over and over again how much I love you, that I'm not going to be disheartened by you.
Worship Life Radio with Holland Davis will continue right after this.
Hi, this is Holland Davis, and I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel in San Clemente. And I just want to take a moment and invite you to come and visit us at one of our Sunday morning services or to our midweek Bible study. Calvary Chapel San Clemente is a Jesus people community right here in the city of San Clemente, California. You know, we identify with our roots in the Jesus movement because that's where I came to Christ. And of course, that's where Calvary Chapel was born. When you come to our church, you're going to find a church that loves to worship the Lord with song. We love to study God's word verse by verse, and we love to share the love of God with other people. If that's the kind of church you're looking for, consider visiting us. You can find out all about us online at calvarysanclemente.org. We look forward to worshiping with you soon, and may God richly bless you.
Now, let's continue with today's edition of Worship Life Radio.
Because I'm one with you. We get disheartened with people, don't we? People disappoint us. They let us down. God doesn't do that. God doesn't become disheartened with you. He doesn't look at us and go, oh my goodness. Of all the people I could have picked, I picked you. He doesn't do that. When he says, I'm not going to forsake you, it literally means this. I'm not going to be the one to leave. I'll never leave you. I'm not going to be the one to neglect you. And I'm not going to be the one to separate from you. You see, Israel's going to have to leave God because God's not going to leave them. Rather, I will be the one to restore and repair you. That's what I'm going to do. Doesn't matter how bad you mess it up. I'm going to be ready to restore and to repair. And so this is the first principle to taking the land of our hearts. It requires a commitment to oneness with God, where you decide, I will not stop pursuing the Lord, that I will not separate myself from God. I am going to stay engaged. Even if it's by a thread, I'm going to hang in there. Where else would I go? He has the words of life. The second principle is in verse 6, to be strong and of good courage. Literally, it means to be resolute and to be brave. Because taking the heartland is not for the faint of heart. It requires an inner strength that says, no matter what, I am not going to quit. I'm going to continue through. And let me tell you something, it requires courage to do that. It requires courage to walk through the valley of the shadow of death in your life sometimes. The third principle is in verse 7, to put God's word into practice and not be a consumer of God's word, but to be a doer of God's word. We live in a consumer society where you can go online and consume all kinds of stuff, listen to all kinds of teaching, but it doesn't become valuable to you until you actually do it and put it into practice in your life. The Bible is a book of action. It's a book that you live. And when the Bible says it's living, it doesn't mean that the words have some magical power. That's what the Pharisees thought. Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think in them that you have life, but they just point you to me. And something happens when you begin to put the word of God into practice. You realize that you can't do it in your own power and your own strength. It's impossible. To love someone who is unlovely, to forgive someone that you're embittered against. You ever try to do that? How hard it is? It requires help. The power of the Holy Spirit. As you're putting the word of God into practice, you become aware of your weakness and your need for his power. And you begin to call out to him, and it makes you aware, conscious of the presence of God at work in your life. And that's what happens when you become a doer of the word. The fourth principle is in verse 8, to meditate on God's word. Verse 8 says that the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. A lot of people don't know what to do because they don't know the word of God. They don't know how to obey God. There's some people, they heard a preacher and they say, oh yeah, you know, I'm obeying God. Well, what do? I wake up every morning and I pray and I have my coffee and I do my devotions and I'm obeying God. It's like, well, that's not nowhere in the Bible. Morning devotions isn't in my Bible? No. Some of the things that we've been told is what being obedient to God means. It's different. You got to know the book. You got to know what's in the scriptures. What Jesus did. David said, I hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Something I do often is I will take a scripture and I will just think about it. And I'll begin to apply it to different situations. And as I apply it to different situations and I'm just meditating on the words, you know, your word, not the doctor's word, not this person's word, not anybody's word. Your word, I've hid it in my heart. What does that mean to hide something in your heart? How do I do that? And I begin to think about it. Sometimes I'll think about it for weeks and months, just meditating on God's word. And then all of a sudden, it becomes clear to me, how do I live that word out? How do I make it practical in my life? And the fifth principle is in verse 9, to remember that you live in the presence of God. In verse 9, it says, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Where the presence of God is, where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. All the power of God is where the presence of God is. So as we go through Joshua, allow the presence of God just to fill your life. Allow his spirit to speak to your heart. Allow him to uncover the things that he wants to uncover. Expect to be confronted with maybe some things you believe about him that are not true. And allow him to do what he wants to do. Because his intent for you is he wants to be one with you. And he wants to get everything out of the way. He wants to clear the decks. So it's just you and him and nothing else. He's jealous over us. He doesn't share us with anyone. And the greatest thing that he has done to demonstrate that is what he did at the cross. Jesus demonstrated his intent for us. He knew that we were separated from him. He knew that there was nothing we could do about it. That we couldn't end the separation. That it was something that only he could do. And so on the night that we betrayed him, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that was broken for you. Your broken life, your broken heart can now be made whole by me." And he invites you to surrender that to him, whatever it is. And then he took the cup and he blessed it. And he says, "This is the cup of the new covenant that I'm making. The first covenant was based on your obedience. And you couldn't do it. You broke my law. And so I made a new covenant. That's not based on your obedience, but it's based on my obedience. And I have obeyed the Father perfectly. And this covenant pays for the forgiveness of your sins. It doesn't matter what you've done, it's forgiven. And not only does it take away your guiltiness, but it takes away your iniquity, your separation, so that you are no longer separated from God." And when Jesus said, "It is finished," he said, "The separation is over." The veil was torn, and the presence of God fills the earth. And now you can be filled with the presence of God right where you're at. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Lord, we thank you for the bread and the cup. We thank you, Lord, that your body was broken for us, that we might be made whole and complete. We thank you that your blood was shed for us, that we might be forgiven. And so, Lord, we receive healing. We receive forgiveness. We receive renewal, new vision. And Lord, lift off of us anything that separates us from you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, we want you to know how special you are to us, but more importantly, we want you to know how special you are to God. God loves you. And he gave everything for you so that you could have eternal life. His son Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven and you could know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Why don't you pray this simple prayer, mean it with all your heart, and make that decision to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to say, "Jesus, I surrender to you. Forgive me for living my life without you. I don't want to live without you anymore. I want to live for you. Forgive me for breaking your law and fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live for you all the days of my life." And if you pray that prayer, you can have the assurance that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. And I look forward to spending that eternity with you.
Spies, secret keeping, safety. All of these words describe an event recorded in the book of Joshua. Can you imagine your city being on the verge of complete destruction? What would you do if some enemy spies entered your house because they were on the run from city officials? There are many other accounts like this one with Rahab, where we see God's hand in saving and leading his chosen people into the land he promised them. Have I piqued your curiosity enough to ensure your return to hear more from Pastor Holland Davis here on Worship Life Radio? He's not done teaching from the book of Joshua. If you missed any part of today's message or would like to hear others like it, CalvarySanClemente.org is the site to visit. All you have to do is locate the teaching tab at the top of the page. Easy peasy. While you're there, be sure to take a look around. As a listener-supported ministry, we covet not only your prayers, but also donations of any size. It does make a difference. Would you consider clicking on the Give tab today? Do you need someone to talk to? Do you have something weighing on your heart? We'd be honored to go to the Lord in prayer on your behalf. Our number is 949-228-9117. Please call us so we can do that for and with you. Thanks for listening to Worship Life Radio. Now may the Lord bless you and those whom you love, and especially those whom nobody loves.
Every one of us is on a journey of grace. God wants you to be free and full of joy. Pastor Holland's message series, A Journey of Grace, will help you discover how to live the abundant life that Jesus promises to give you today. Order your personal copy of A Journey of Grace at worshipliferadio.com.